So, in this series that we're affectionately calling whatever Chris is studying at Bible College, we're going to talk about the calling of Simon Peter today. Now, admittedly, we talked about the 72 last week, and as I was doing my studying for this week, I think I kind of put the buggy before the horse, so to say. We talked about the people after the apostles, but really, in reality, we probably should have talked about the apostles first. Now, if you're like me, you really like fishing, so this is one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. It's a story about fishing. I can remember a lot of great stories about fishing. In fact, when I went home this weekend, so that means I drove about 5 hours north, and I was a little bit north of Columbia hanging out with my mom and dad, and as soon as I got home, Dad didn't want to do anything but get in the boat and go fishing. So we loaded up the boat, and him and Mom were supposed to do something that night, and Mom said, well, you go on out with him and go fishing. And so we proceeded to spend about the next 3 hours in the boat and didn't catch a thing. But you know what? It was good to be in fellowship. It was good to spend some time with him, and it was good to do something that I love, that is fishing. So our text for today is going to be Luke 5, 1 through 11, and we'll start with some background or some study notes that I found this week on the text that I found really remarkable. Now, first of all, it doesn't say that it's the Sea of Galilee. It gives you the name, the Sea of Gennesaret, but a lot of scholars will tell you that that is indeed the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee in itself is not really a sea. It's really a lake that's wide. And so they saw it as a sea. I mean, that'd be like us going over to the Lake of the Ozarks and calling it the Sea of the Ozarks. Kind of a funny way to look at it. And the boats of this day were 40 to 50 foot long. So those are some big boats. You know, your average fishing boat now is 20 foot, so You can kind of take that knowledge into the story as we unpack what we have to see here today. But I want to begin with this thought, and I think it'll touch each of you. And if you take one thing, take this with you, and that is we could all stand to be a little more like Simon Peter. Now we see, not only before this text, we also need to point out the fact that Simon Peter and his brothers are running a pretty large, significant fishing business. So that means that they have some sort of wealth. This is their business. And the scholars don't really know how big the business is, but it's fairly significant because they're doing it daily. And I think as I read through this text, I came to two clear distinctions on how we should live if we want to emulate Simon Peter. So if you have your scriptures, your Bibles today, go ahead and turn to Luke 5. Verse 1 is where we'll pick up for our story here. It says, on one occasion, while the crowds was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, this is an interesting verse in here because I never really noticed this as I was reading it, that Jesus is teaching, but he asked him to put out a little bit, put the boat out in the water a little bit before he actually goes out, before they go out to cast the net. So he takes time to put the boat out just a little bit and teach the Word of God. So that's interesting. Never really noticed that. I don't know if it's truly applicable, but something for you to chew on. And we pick back up in verse 5. It says, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners and the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished by the catch of fish they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So I think we get some clear indications of how to live our lives to look more like Simon Peter, an apostle, a follower of Jesus. And I think the first thing is we need to listen for the call of God on our lives. I think this can be done several ways: reading, through prayer, in our quiet time. I once heard a point from a friend in a sermon that said Jesus spent 90% of his life on this planet in silence and solitude, and only 10% actually preaching or teaching. And so that made me wonder, and I'm sure it'll make you wonder, how do we spend our quiet time? See, we get this image here that Simon is in the boat that had just been put out a little bit offshore, and he's spending his time listening to the teaching of God, even after a failed night of fishing. See, Simon had been out the night before. They were cleaning the nets because they hadn't caught anything. And yet Simon, dejected, demoralized from a rough night of fishing, takes the time to sit down and listen to what God's teaching him. And I think I was reminded of this, listening to this. In the Army, we have to go to these stupid meetings all the time, and it's dumb stuff, like let's talk about sexual harassment, or, you know, and that's important, but the meeting is dumb because you sit in there and look at a PowerPoint screen for 4 hours in a room that's cranked up with 100 people in there. You know, maybe it's something about safety, and nobody likes safety. Nobody cares about the safety. You know, let's just get it done. And so, you know, sometimes I just really didn't want to be there. But at the end of the day, some of those briefings were really important. You know, some of those briefings on how to disarm an IED, an explosive device, would be useful in Afghanistan to save my life and the life of others. What if we took that same approach when we were listening to God's Word? See, that the Word of God can help us disarm the dangerous things that are going on in our life, going on around us. And so we need to listen and pay attention to the teachings of God. And I think along this line, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes. That's another way for us to look like Simon. See, this is kind of made aware to me in two different places in these 11 verses. See, like we were just talking about, Simon had to put out the nets after a night of not catching any fish. And let's just put this into perspective. Jesus is a carpenter. Simon is a professional fisherman. But yet, Jesus says, "Cast your nets." And Simon says, "Okay." That would be like me going on one of them professional bass fishermen boats and telling them guys, "Hey, go fish over here. You'll catch them." They're probably not going to listen, but Simon did. See, I think Simon in this moment here is probably tired because he's been out fishing all night. And historically, in those times, they fished all through the night. So they'd go out at dark and then fish all night. And I don't know if Simon was a night owl, but I'm not. So anytime I go out night fishing, I get awful tired and I like to get my sleep. So I'd imagine Simon was ready to go to bed. And yet Jesus says, cast out your nets. And he's willing to do what he was instructed. See, sometimes doing what God's will is not what we want to do, but rather what we need to do. See, I think of Abraham when he goes up to the mountain and takes his son. He's about to sacrifice his son, and he's all the way there. He's going to do it, and God says at the last minute, no, 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 don't actually do it. In fact, I often look at this calling for me to be in the ministry. It's kind of funny to admit this now, but when I was in high school, I felt a calling to do ministry, and I went and toured Ozark Christian College and was actually going to do the same thing I'm doing right now just about 10 years ago. But God told me, or kind of put a call on my life to go do the military first. And so I went and did a lot of time in the Army and spent a lot of life. And I got out and I was like, you know what, God, this ministry thing, that was 10 years ago. I don't think it's for me. I don't think I'm going to go do it. And so I went through life, lived a couple of years, and then one night God just kind of put it on me and said, you're going to do this whether you want to or not. And so I made this commitment, much like Simon Peter, and I went online on my fancy dancy computer and put in an application for Ozark Christian College, and I said, you know what, God, if I get into college, I'll go. If not, then maybe this isn't your will. Maybe it's something that I thought about. And lo and behold, about a week later, the admissions department called me and said, welcome to Ozark Christian College. And I said, well, you know what, God? I guess I'm going. I'm going to be a college boy after all. And so I think as much as I ran, God still had this desire for me to be there. And when I finally submitted, it brought a lot of things to my life. It brought a lot of joy. It brought peace. And so if I can encourage you in that way, submit to what God wants you to do. See, we get this image of the rewards that will come. See, it may not be a sinking boat overloaded with fish, but I still think the rewards are going to be worth the work. See, I feel like for me, I get to live the reward each and every week that I get to come to Mansfield Christian Church and share the gospel with you guys and go have lunch with Don and Dot or Wayne and Debbie and just experience joy each week from that. But I think whatever that is for you, don't be afraid to cast the net even when you're not catching any fish. So I wonder how many times God is telling us to cast our nets metaphorically, but yet we're the opposite of Simon Peter. We say, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm hungry, I've already done it and haven't caught anything. And so we go on our ways a different way than what God's intended us to go. So I encourage you, next time God says, cast out your net, to just cast out your net. See, I was thinking about this a little more, and one of the things that kids like to do. In fact, I was guilty of this until I joined the military. When I was told to do something, I like to ask the question, why? Dad would tell me to go cut the grass. Why? Dad would go tell me to go put water in the bins. Why? Dad would tell me, you need to go weed eat this. Why? And you know what Dad's answer was? You don't need to know why. You just need to go do it. Sometimes I'd end up with a little red bottom after I asked why too many times. And I think, how many times does God tell us to do something and we say, why? What if we lived our lives where there was no more question, why? What if God, when God told us to do something, we said, yes, sir, and went and jumped on it? You know, that was one thing that the military really taught me. When you were told to do something, there was no asking the question why. You just went and did whatever you were told to do. So I think we should live our lives like that. When God tells us to do something, no longer should we ask the question why. We should just go and do. And I think when we do that, right, the cost is going to be high. It's going to be expensive. We have to die to the world. This is seen throughout this text. Simon gave up a business. He gave up money. He left his family to follow Christ. That is an expensive cost. And we see this may end relationships, right? He left family that was there. And maybe it's not godly relationships, but it's going to end relationships when we give everything up to follow God. But we can still disciple those people that are not following churches. We just shouldn't be in relationship with them like they're a part of the body. That's where we get a chance to bring them to Christ, bring them to the body. And I think another thing to point out here too is our cost is light. Jesus has already paid the cost. All we have to do is accept Him, follow Him, and live our lives in a way that He's instructed us to live each day. I think of, you know, Philippians 2, Jesus loved the world so much that He was willing to submit Himself to death, even death on a cross. See, when we truly understand this concept of dying to the world, money, things of the world, power, these things that we desire are no longer important to us. What's important is understanding, loving, and living through the will of God. I thought of a friend as I was kind of working through this point here. I thought of a friend named Jeff Brown. Now, Jeff Brown is an Ozark graduate, and he spent a lot of time doing missions work down in South America, and then he came up and he started pastoring at military churches. Now, he's at a church up by Fort Winterwood right now, and I asked him one time, I said, Jeff, you've been doing ministry a long time. Don't you ever want a big church? And Jeff's response was, no, God called me to minister to the military community. And if He wants me to have a small church, then I need to submit to His desire to live, to preach to a small community. If I wanted a big church, or if God wanted me to have a big church, He'd have called me to like California or something. But here He put me in little old Missouri, preaching at a little old military church. And that's where God has called me to be. And so that's where I'll be. So in conclusion, I think the first thing we need to do is take time to listen to what God has told us to do in our lives. So when you sit down and read, don't just read to read, read to hear what God's telling you to do. Next, we need to do what is asked of you. Right? When God asks us to do something, we need to be willing to actually do it. Not just say, oh yeah, I'll get to it, and then never do it. I mean, I think of the times when I was a small child, my dad would say, hey, I need you to go do the dishes. Well, I'll do it in 5 minutes. And here come 5 hours, and he's coming with the belt. How come you haven't done the dishes yet? And so I think oftentimes we get an instruction from God, and we say, oh, yeah, we'll do it in 5 minutes. And here's 5 years gone by, and you still haven't done what God's called you to do. And I think this last kind of thought that I want to leave you is be in awe of what God asks you to do. He's asking you to do it because he wants you to do it. Notice Simon Peter, when he figures out Jesus tells him to cast a net and he catches all of these fish, what does he do? He bows down at the feet of Jesus and says, I am not worthy, for I am a sinner. He was in awe of what God asked him to do. He was in awe of the rewards for being faithful to the command of God. And as a final kind of story here to leave you guys with, I couldn't help but think of a dear friend of mine. He's a chaplain in the United States military. His name is Chaplain David Redden, and he's an amazing man of God, Southern Baptist man from Alabama, and he's got the deepest accent. You think mine's thick, you ought to hear this old boy. He's a good one, though. And so he was telling me a story one time about how he decided to be a chaplain. He said he was at the Walmart grocery shopping. He was an associate pastor at a church in Alabama, and he said it was clear as day. He was getting milk, and God told him that he was going to be a chaplain. And so he said, you know what, God, if that's what you want me to do. He went from Walmart, they didn't even go home and talk to his wife and kids. He just went straight to the recruiting office and signed up to be a United States Army chaplain. And he said when he got home, that made for some really interesting conversation with his wife, and she cried and cried and cried. But that journey has been nothing but a blessing on their lives. She's found a love for the military community, and he's found a love in being able to bring lost people to Christ. And so I think we should live our lives like these people that I've highlighted. Jump into when God calls you to go somewhere, just do it. Don't ask why, just go. And so I'll leave you with the statement I opened with today. I think we could all find joy in living a life a little bit more like Simon Peter.